Now, Budget 2023 will be announced tomorrow by Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Finance and Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. Lots of talk and discussion about what is going to be announced, the one-off cost of living package alongside it as well. But Sinn Féin has proposed an additional spending of €13.5 billion for the rest of this year and next year in its alternative budget and cost of living package. It published its proposals in Dublin on Friday. The party leader Mary Lou MacDonald describing some of the bigger measures included as emergency interventions at a time of emergency. The measures in the package will entail between €3 and €4 billion of additional expenditure than is being proposed by the government. With me on the line to talk about this is Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty. Deputy Doherty, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Terry, and your listeners.
Now, overall, you're talking about a net expenditure of €9.4 billion. It would have been €10 billion, but for taxation revenue of €600 million, which would be derived from new taxes targeted at wealthier individuals. Your one-off package, why are you pitching it that much higher, €3 to €4 billion higher than what the government are apparently going to do, or supposedly going to do?
Because of the scale of the crisis that we're in, so there's two parts to this. There's a cost of living package that will be between now and the end of the year, giving immediate relief to people. That's like seeing your social welfare rates increase by €15 right across the board, pensions increase by the same, and those increases then would there would be further increases in 2023 next year, but also cost of living cash payments, so people earning below €21,000 receiving €500 and then dropping off to €400, €300, €200, and €100 depending on how much you earn as an adult, and they would be available to all people who are over the age of 18 up to who have individual incomes up to €70,000, and that's to help people with the cost that people are seeing day in, day out, whether it's in energy, whether it's in food, whether it's in clothing. We also need to see doubling of social welfare benefits. We need to see the double child benefit payment. So these are packages that are really, really needed, and crucially what most people are telling me is that what they want is they want certainty. They want certainty that their bills, their electricity bills, will not continue to increase, particularly during the winter months, and that's what Sinn Féin have argued for. A policy that is similar to what about 10 other European countries have done, which is capping, reducing electricity prices back to where they were last year before the crisis. So that's like more than halving your electricity costs and keeping them at that level right throughout the winter. So that's the kind of cost of living package. But we also need to recognise that before we entered into this cost of living crisis, primarily brought on by the war in Ukraine, we had other serious challenges, and that's why we need to plan to end the crises that we have in housing, that we have in health. So we have a big package in terms of housing about delivering 20,000 social affordable houses next year, nearly double what the government are planning, but also investing in capacity in terms of our health service, reducing costs for people who are using our health service, and making sure that we're training our health professionals of the future so that we have those skilled people to fill those positions in the future. So there are things that the government seem not to be talking about at all, and we'd be very, very concerned, because we don't just have a cost of living crisis, we also have a whole generation that's locked out of home ownership because of the lack of ability or affordability.
Yeah, sure,
a massive crisis in health.
And they're talking about a surplus of maybe perhaps around €4 billion. We'll get the exact figures tomorrow. But if you spent that €4 billion, let's say, as you're proposing, over what the government are going to spend, do you run the danger of running out of ammunition to deal with the crisis as it develops, perhaps maybe in January or February?
No, so this year, so when the minister stood up on the floor of the Dáil last year, he projected that we would have a deficit this year of €8 billion. What we're going to have instead is €4.5 billion of a surplus. So with our one-off, and a lot of this is coming from people, you know, your listeners who paid higher tax, who pay higher excise, who every time they go in to fill their car, they're paying more tax, they're paying more when they buy their shopping in the supermarket and so on and so forth. So some of that is the reason why we've got this additional revenue. But with our one-off measures, we would still have a surplus this year. in housing and healthcare, that we'd provide those social welfare increases, that we'd put a month's rent back into renters' pockets, that we would slash childcare costs by 2/3, we would still have a surplus of 9 billion euro, Jerry. Now, countries right throughout Europe, first of all, the international research done here, independent research, not done by Sinn Féin, but by the Financial Times and Bruegel, shows that our country is the worst and the slowest at spending money to support their citizens.
And what of the danger of spending too much money and throwing too much at the problem and thereby increasing inflation further, as previous governments in the state did?
Absolutely. That's if you won't go and give tax cuts to the wealthier in society, then that's what will happen. But our measures are very much focused at actually reducing inflation. So, for example, by reducing the cost of electricity and capping at that during the winter period, we will actually have a lower inflation rate than what we have. That's why France, for example, has one of the lowest inflation rates in Europe, because they've done this for months now. By actually targeting...
They're also helped by lower energy costs because they get their power from nuclear rather than having to rely on gas like we have to do.
You're 100% right, and that's another reason why we have to reduce electricity costs, because before this crisis, Ireland had the fourth highest energy costs in Europe. So we already started from a very high, a bad place, and now we're worse given the increases that are happening. But it's not just Poland, it's not just France that have done this. The Danes and Netherlands have announced in the last week that they're going to do this. You have Austria is doing this. Portugal and Spain have capped their gas prices for customers at the wholesale level. You have the likes of Romania, you have Malta, you have loads of countries that are doing this.
Sure.
But our government will not provide that certainty.
Okay, this is the price cap you're talking about. I've a listener coming in. Please ask questions to our Piers Doherty, questions about what this listener calls the farcical energy cap. It gives unlimited monies to the power generators and onto various countries, deny this if they want. What's that concern about? You don't know where the prices will be. If you cap this, you don't know what the ultimate cost will be to the exchequer.
Well,
or will you offset it with windfall taxes?
Well, we've argued for windfall taxes since the first quarter of this year. The government have argued against it. Indeed, Pascal Donoghue argued against it at committee level and on the media. But now Europe is going to bring in these windfall taxes, and government have had to do a U-turn. So, of course, there would be a windfall taxes. We wouldn't allow these companies to profit here the way they have done. Some of them have done over the last period. So windfall tax will actually put a cap in relation to their profits. So the listeners' concerns wouldn't be realised in this year. Listen, what this is about is actually the state stepping in and saying, look, we hear you. We understand the pressures that you're under. We understand the fact that electricity prices have more than doubled in the last year and they might increase further. That's why we are going to actually reduce your electricity costs back to where they were before the crisis, and we're going to keep them there. We're going to give you certainty on this measure. So we have costed this in a 1.4 billion euro to bring it back to where it was, and another 230 million euro for further increases over the winter that we could see. And that's a decision. Now, the government don't want to do that. The government don't want to provide that certainty. And basically what the government are saying is, if the energy producers actually increase the cost, you're on your own. You paddle your own canoe. You put your hand in your pocket, even if there's nothing in those pockets, and you stump up to keep the lights on this winter. We're saying no. Actually, right across Europe, what they're doing is they're providing certainty. This isn't something novel, by the way, Jerry. The European Commission in March came out with a toolbox, a suite of measures that countries could actually do to actually support their citizens. One of them was an energy cap, a price cap. That's why France has done it. That's why Austria has done it. That's why Romania has done it. That's why Malta has done it. That's why the Netherlands are doing it. That's why the Danes are doing it. That's why Portugal and Spain did it in relation to wholesale gas markets. This is happening right across Europe. Our government are asleep at the wheel on this issue.
Okay, can I ask you about your housing policy? And opposition or government spokespeople have been particularly critical of your housing policy, saying that your numbers don't add up. There's nowhere near enough labour in the country to build the amount of houses that you say you would build in the first year in government, and also criticism of your plans to cap rents, 3-year rent freeze. How are you going to encourage people to stay as landlords when they're fleeing the market by bringing in a policy like this at this time?
Well, first of all, Jerry, there was a lot of that. So let me, and I, look, I would expect Darragh O'Brien to have a go at our policy because, look, his own plan is failing utterly. And we see in the media the memo he brought to Cabinet, his officials brought, saying that his
warning
own targets,
about targets
which
yeah.
were...
Yeah.
Yeah, his own targets, which were pathetically low, aren't even going to be reached. So, look, we in Sinn Féin would not be allowed to stand a situation where we have a whole generation locked out of home ownership, where we see prices spiraling out of control, where we have 10,000 people now in emergency accommodation.
Yeah,
so
but what
do we
would
need
you
to
do to fix
to
it? And
it?
What would a 3-year rent freeze do to landlords who are already leaving the market, exacerbating the housing crisis?
Okay, so let me. So what we would do to fix it is we would build more homes. We would build more houses. We would build 20,000.
Yeah, that would take time, though. I'm saying if he brought this in this budget, a 3-year freeze, what message is that saying to landlords who are needed to fix the problem, to stay where they are and stay renting?
I'm going to answer the rent part, but I just want to make the point, and because you asked me about housing and the numbers. Of this here come from the department, Darragh O'Brien's own department, and from the Department of Finance and Public Expenditure. That's where the costs come from, so it's nonsense to say that the costs or the numbers don't add up. The second thing is, some of these homes are going to be actually derelict houses that are going to be repurposed, so they're called buy and renew. It's a policy that the government have used in the past, but only in very small ways. We want to actually increase the number of houses that would be turned around that way, to actually deliver them faster. The question you asked me in relation to rents, rents are increasing at a phenomenal rate. In the last year, they've increased by 9.2%. Now, for 9.2%, what does that mean? Well, your renters will know what it means. It means in hundreds upon hundreds of euro, and indeed over 1,000 euro for an annual rent in this state has gone up last year. That's like 1,400 euro is the price that an average rent has gone up in 1 year. And this has been happening year on year. So landlords are receiving rents now that they've never received before. But yes, you're 100% right, Jerry. Landlords are leaving the market. Why? Because they're cashing out. Because on the other side of this here, property prices have never been as high as they have, even during the
and it's nothing to do with lack of control of their own properties if policies like this come in, or nothing to do with the increased cost of maintaining properties, or nothing to do with the concerns that they'd have over the taxation that they pay, even with those rents. And a lot of them are locked in to not being able to increase those rents. It's fine, say, 9% of increase, but there's a lot of rent pressures on across the country and landlords who are caught at a certain rate. So it's not fair to say they're all on the pig's back, earning a load of money, sitting back and laughing as fat cats, because that's the picture being painted.
Well, first of all, rents have never been as high. Okay, that's the first fact. The second thing is, in the last decade, taxes have actually decreased. So therefore, they're paying a little bit less tax, and they're getting far more rent than they would have got. The second thing is...
Even in rent pressure zones.
Yes, and any maintenance that they're doing in relation to their property, they can offset that in relation to their taxable profits. The other issue here is, and the real issue here is, that there is a lot of accidental landlords. There's people who inherited a house, or there's people who decided during the Celtic Tiger to buy a second property and use it as a pension and all the rest. They are seeing eye-watering levels in relation to property prices at the minute. You just see the DAF report that came out. I don't know what Kerry's looking like. My own county has seen property price increases of nearly 20% in the last year. So, like, the people are saying this is the time to cash out. They're also fearful that there might be a downturn in the future. So more and more renters are cashing out. One of the things that we would do in our proposals is, those renters with landlords that have full-time tenancies, we would allow local authorities to actually purchase those houses, so that we wouldn't lose rental houses out of the market. But crucially, what we need to do is we need the state to step in. This is the problem here with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's policy. They have left.
You want
to the
more state building?
Sector.
You want social housing? You want to buy a private estates for social housing in their entirety and other things like that to try and increase the supply? Let me ask this question finally, Piers Doherty, in the time we left. Would you keep the 9% VAT rate for hospitality, or would you let it go in February as is being proposed?
Yeah, we would let it go in February, because what we're hearing from people in the hospitality sector and right across the sector, whether you're in retail, a small corner shop, or whether you're in running a hotel or a B&B, what we're hearing from people is it's the cost of energy that we need to focus on. And we have a very ambitious package there that would support these companies,
businesses.
Okay. And what it does is, it's the same as what Luxembourg does. Basically, the state comes in and they take over a portion of the electricity bill.
and you go for that. Final brief point. Mary asked a question, and it's a perception question for your party. Mary asked, where is the money coming from? It's from the taxes of the middle classes and any assets they acquire from hard work and risks taken through their lifetime. Sinn Féin does not support these type of people. What's your response to Mary this morning, that you're not looking after the squeezed middle or people who've improved themselves, taken risks, gone without, paid mortgages, and now have some property? What's your response to Mary's
question? Absolutely. We need people, and I think Mary's point is really, really important. We need people, entrepreneurs, business people. We need people to take risks, to create employment, to create opportunity in this state, and that's why we are absolutely committed to our corporation tax rate, which is at a very low level in comparison to European competitors. We also want to see enhanced support for SMEs in terms of tax credits, in terms of research and development, and in terms of individual income. And, you know, if Mary doesn't have an individual income, below or above €140,000, then she will see actually a reduction in her tax under Sinn Féin's proposals. Yes, but if she does have a portion of income above €140,000, we actually believe that she should pay 3%.
And if she got some of that income by having a property that she worked hard to pay off on, and she faces a 3-year price freeze.
Yeah, in terms of her rents, yes, absolutely. Because at the minute, the rents are at eye-water level. Like, Jerry, you made the point that some people are frozen. They're not frozen. They can increase their rents by 2%. And rent is increasing by 2%. So it's going up about another €400
per year. And inflation's up by 7, 8, 9%.
And yes, absolutely. But remember, those inflation, it's not the landlord that's paying the electricity bill. It's the tenant that's paying the electricity bill. And the reason, and one of the reasons inflation is going up is because rents are going up. Like, rents actually increasing is one of the factors in relation to inflation. So, let's be clear about this here. Like, if landlords who are charging on average, €1,400 for rent, can't make a go at it, then we have a broken system. And that's a problem, because rents have never been higher, and taxes have actually reduced in the last number of years. So there is a serious, serious problem here. So if you want to argue the toss and say, let rents continue to increase and increase, that's one of the main drivers that we have in terms of homelessness. So we make no apologies about it whatsoever. Rents are out of control.
They need to be controlled.
We're going to do is we're going to put a month's rent back into renters' pockets to help them with that. And during that period,
we're out of time. Deputy Doherty, thanks for your views this morning.